Good morning. We continue with our study of Nachiyomi as we do every single day. And of course, Rabbi Jerry Acker as well. We are in Sefer Malachim Aleph and we're in the fifth parak. So we had recognized already who was Shlomo. So Shlomo HaMelech was ruling over everybody and everyone's bringing gifts to him. It was Shlomo's Chachma that gave him his strength. The Chachma came from Hashem, not his military strength. And so the nations were very, very fearful, and they served him. So Shlomo's Malchus keeps getting bigger, and the expenses grew bigger as well. Since he was at peace with everyone, the rulers would come eat at his table in order to show a certain kavod. This wasn't a burden on the people, because of the many gifts that Shlomo received from the nations, says the Malbim. So the Navi says, one day's worth of bread for Shlomo's table with 30 measures of fine flour, 60 measures of coarser flour, 10 fattened oxen, 20 ox, and 100 sheep, and harts, and deer, and all sorts of things. And each of Shlomo's 1,000 wives prepared a meal this size for him each day, thinking that he was going to be with her that particular night. That's the way the Gemara points it out in Bava Metzia. So Shlomo's rule extended from one end of the world to another, including every malchus of that era. So during that time, Bnei Yisrael lived confidently throughout Eretz Yisrael. And those who were assigned to oversee the king's supplies also saw the needs of the non-Jewish guests. And so Shlomo had 40,000 stalls of horses and 20,000 horsemen, and his fleet of horses was in Yerushalayim. Others had parts all over the country. And those who took care of the king's supplies, they checked out all of these things, says Radak. And Hashem also gave him a tremendous amount of chachma, of wisdom. And this was all-encompassing. He judged the Jewish nation. He was much more versed than the rest of the world. He understood the language of the birds. He was smarter than all of the sorcerers in Mitzrayim. And they were also supposed experts in nature. And he was even considered wiser than Zerach, Eitan, Haman, Chalkol, and Darda, who were known to be the greatest Talmidei Chachamim, or wise people of their generation. They wrote the songs by the Levium in the Beis HaMikdash, which are included in the Sefer Tehillim in the Shir Shoyom. And Shlomo also figured out the wisdom of music. More than anyone else, his wisdom influenced him. You could see each of the Neflos Habore, with the greatness of Hashem in each and every one of the creations, and which brought him closer to Hashem each and every time. So Shlomo HaMelech composed 3,000 Mishalim, which helped him go ahead and acquire Yiras Hashem. We don't have those Mishalim, that's not Mishlei. Many of the Svarim he wrote were lost in Galus, and they were used by other nations who claim that they wrote them. Others say that some of his wisdom did get recorded in Sefer Mishlei and Koheles, and the other stuff was not preserved for the future generations. But Shlomo HaMelech wrote 1,005 Shirim, poems, that didn't exist anymore. Others say, no, that's just a reference to Shir HaShirim, says the Malbim. And he taught the characteristics of the animals. The people realized that their wisdom was nothing compared to Shlomo's, and so therefore kings from around the world came to study from him. They just sat in front of him to see what he had. And when they came back, the people wanted to hear what Shlomo said. And when Yom Tov came around, Shlomo spoke publicly to the nation. The Goyim used to come. That's how much they wanted to do things, says Ramban in Sefer Koheles. So Chira Melech Tzur loved David very, very much. And when he heard that Shlomo took his father's place, he knew Shlomo must also be great. He wasn't the oldest, and yet he was taken. So he sends his servants to establish a relationship. And out of respect for his father, Shlomo didn't mention that Hashem stopped David from building the Beis HaMikdash. Instead, he says that David was not able to build the Beis HaMikdash, and Hashem gave me the chance, and now I want to be able to build the Beis HaMikdash. So I ask you to go take the people from Sidon, who live next to the forest, to cut down cedar trees from the forest, and let me have them for the Beis HaMikdash. And my servants will come, and they'll help, and your workers get paid. But I get the trees for free. And you should know, no one is good in tree cutting as the people from Sidon. When Hiram heard about this, he realized, wow, this was brilliant. And he thanked Hashem for giving David such a smart son. And he sends a message to Shlomo saying that he's going to give him both the cedar and the cypress wood. And by the way, Shlomo had only asked for the eretz, for the cedar wood. And he said what he's going to do is he's going to have his servants bring the wood via sea. They'd be tied together and floated on the water like a raft. And once they got to the coast closest to Yerushalayim, they'd be untied and brought to shore, and Shlomo's servants would then bring them to Yerushalayim by horse. And in return, he wants food for his household. So Hiram provides Shlomo with a tremendous amount of wood, and Shlomo provides Hiram with a tremendous amount of wheat per year for his household. And just like Hiram added cypress wood, Shlomo added oil. Now Hiram realizes Shlomo's wisdom, and he forgot, and he went ahead to make a bris with Shlomo, which surpassed his connection with David. David was a conqueror; Hiram needed his help. Shlomo was a chacham; Hiram wanted to make a stronger, closer venture with him. And so Shlomo goes and he puts on a tax onto Bnei Israel, which was equivalent to the wages of 30,000 people. So suggests Rashi. Others say that the tax was in the form of work, that there were 30,000 people sent to Lebanon. 10,000 worked each month and then would go home for 2 months. And every month, a different group of 10,000 would go. And Adoni Ram oversaw the sending of the workers at that time. So in the end, Shlomo sent 80,000 men to cut large stones in the mountains, 70,000 to bring the stones from the quarry to the road, and then they got transported by wagon to city. And all of these workers joined Bnei Yisrael after seeing the greatness of Shlomo. They weren't accepted as full-fledged Gerim because it wasn't clear that they were interested to serve Hashem, but Shlomo was careful with them. He accepted them to work for the Malchus. The workers were on top of the 3,300 people who were there to oversee the work. The workers took out very large, heavy, rare, and precious stones from the mountain, and those would be used as the foundation of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, no one would ever see these stones after they were put into the foundation. Still, Shlomo only wanted to use the best of the best, and Klei Yakar explains that the stones were extremely large and heavy, and Hashem miraculously caused the stones to rise up and go to the Makom HaMikdash. And so after the trees were cut down, and after the spots were cleared away, And after they were prepared to, right there on the spot, each was cut to size so it would be ready to be directly placed into the Makom HaMikdash once it got to Yerushalayim. And this finishing work was done by the experts sent by Yisrael, by Hiram, and an expert team that were going to be known as the Gevilim. And so then Shlomo realized that this is the time period for him to start going ahead and building. And so in the next couple of prakim, we are going to see exactly how Shlomo went ahead and built the Beis HaMikdash, what were the dimensions that came in, and that, of course, will be take place. It starts at the end here in Perek Hei, and then in Perek Vav, and beyond, we will continue. Everyone have a wonderful day, and as a Hashem, we should be zocha not only to talk about the Binyan Bayis Rishon, we should be zocha to the Bayis Shlishi, B'mehera V'Yameinu. Have a great day.